Hi, I'm Andrew Rich, and if you're like me, you look at the state of modern wrestling discourse and think, wow, what a cesspool. That's why I'm here to tell you about Music of the Mat Remix. That's right, your favorite wrestling music podcast is back with a new format, where I bring on a guest and we play songs related to wrestling-themed topics. It could be a wrestling reference, a wrestling concept, a wrestling pun, things of that nature. Now you might be saying, Andrew, that is a very, very tenuous connection to pro wrestling on a wrestling podcast network. Is this just an excuse to hang out with your friends and talk about music and ignore the rest of the wrestling landscape? Yes. Yes, it is. So listen to Music of the Mat Remix on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network, available on Apple, Spotify, or your podcast player of choice.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
When you get the Planet Fitness Black Card, you can bring a friend anytime you work out. And now through March 13th, get your first month free when you join. You heard that right. Conquer the stair climber with your partner in climb. Enjoy a post-workout recovery session in the hydro massage. And do it all again with access to any of our 2,700 convenient locations. So, you coming? Get your first month free and all the perks with the PF Black Card for just $1 down, $24.99 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends March 13th. See club for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. Instead, go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI and a watch and tab on any plan. Only on Verizon.
With new line on my plan. Service plan required for watch and tab. Additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Competition's starting to get thick, it's the click, so I hope you watch your A-game. A-made, no rain, from the track when we unite and spit, this isn't A-game, better bring your A-game. Competition's starting to get thick, it's the click, so I hope you watch your A-game. A-made, no rain.
Hey now, it's the Mike and JD Show, and I'm your host, Mike Gilbert, and I'm joined as always by JD, by God Oliva. How you doing, JD?
Not bad, actually. Yeah, we'll leave it at not bad. I'm okay.
Well, that's good. That's a good thing. Wrestling season, we're on a pause right now, so a little less chaotic in the Oliva household.
Kinda. We did. We had little kids practice all week. I made Andy go, even though he didn't qualify for kid state, because we're working on getting better. We're working on dealing with our anxiety and getting better at wrestling. And I'm teaching them underhook stuff, so we're learning about that. So it's good. I didn't do anything with the high school kids this week. I start my practices tomorrow. I got like 8 weeks to get my chunky ass into shape.
So you're going to wrestle in like a over 40 tournament? Is that what you're doing? Like a master's tour?
The plan is to go to Vegas, and I'm speaking this out loud because now I have no choice. The plan is to go to Las Vegas at the end of April and wrestle at the I think it's called the veterans level national tournament. So okay. I think I'm at the higher end of the age bracket. So it's cool, man. I'm very excited. I've been getting in shape for this for a while. And now it's really about just really, really hammering home and getting on the mat and really getting better at my technique. So, yeah.
Should be fun. You need to get the reps down, get into mat shape, mm-hmm. Or as they say in pro wrestling, ring shape, because it really is different, totally different. Right?
Totally yeah. Different. And for Greco specifically, it's going to be different than wrestling with the high school kids and folk style. So, I mean, I just got to make sure I get my shoulder position in line. I got to make sure I work on my parterre, which I haven't touched. I haven't done any parterre Greco work since the summer. So I got a buddy I'm training with. And I'm going to have to do some travel training, but it's going to be fun. I'm excited. I haven't wrestled since college. So it should be a good time.
So I don't care. Yeah. Mustafa Ali started a new wrestling school there in Chicago, right? So I tagged you in and I was like, you know, JD could actually teach, could coach like actual wrestling technique there at the gym for Mustafa Ali, right? And I meant it.
That's far. Like, I don't want to go to Chicago. Like, that's like an hour and a half drive for me. I don't want to.
Yeah, I know. Like, maybe like do a seminar, but I really do think that all professional wrestlers should have some type of baseline training in mat wrestling.
I agree with you. And I think that like diatribe coming. I listen to like Jim Ross will always talk about amateur wrestling stuff. And every time he opens his mouth, I'm like, this fucking guy doesn't have a clue of what he's talking about. No. Like I hear him talking about, holds and stuff like that. I'm like, we don't hold people. Like folks thought it's literally illegal to lock your hands. Like it's hilarious to me to hear those kind of things, but you can always tell the guys that have some type of wrestling background and the guys who are, you know, glorified theater kids, yeah. Right? I'm a firm believer that everybody should have a basic understanding of some type. If you're going to be a pro wrestler, I think you should have some type of base of wrestling specifically. Like you should either have wrestling or jujitsu or, you know, some type of ground game to work on. You know, like, and I see, like, again, I love watching the amateur guys, the guys who come through. Like, I love Chad Gable, who does so much cool Greco stuff. Like, I'm getting my kid into Greco, and we were watching these Greco highlight videos yesterday. He's like, Dad, this looks like pro wrestling. I'm like, yeah, man. I said, so much of pro wrestling is taken from Greco. Yeah. Like, all the cool stuff that is done, all the suplexes and stuff like that, that's Greco technique, right? Like, a Chaos Theory suplex is nothing more than a fancy version of a straight lift in Greco. Like, it's just... I'm a firm believer that these guys should know these things and should understand the history of not only pro wrestling, but the fact that at one point, amateur wrestling and pro wrestling had the same link, right? It all goes back to Hackenschmidt Gotch. And that's like that Hackenschmidt Gotch was so popular that college wrestling became a thing and folk style wrestling became a thing in the US. And it's the exact same launching point for, you know, when pro wrestling left the carnivals and started like touring major halls and stuff again in the US. Like the origin point, the flash point is the same. So like, I'm a firm believer these guys should actually, you might not be good, but you should actually learn how to wrestle. But like, I like Punk, but Punk never stepped foot on an amateur wrestling mat. But the dude knows how to wrestle at this point in his career. I don't know if he's actually like decent, but I mean, like he at least understands like the concept what wrestling is.
When he left the WWE and there, even before he left, he was working with the Gracies. Mm-hmm. Doing jiu-jitsu, right? I can't remember which Gracie, but it was someone local to Chicago. And whenever he left the WWE and he started training MMA full time, he went to Duke Rufus's gym over in Milwaukee, and they train everything there, right? They you'll have wrestling class, jiu-jitsu class, kickboxing class. I don't know if they do judo, but then they kind of mix it all together into training. Now, he wasn't any good. We saw that, but he still has a baseline knowledge of how to position himself, how to, you know, use his weight, use leverage, things like that. Like he is he's not a great athlete, but I think he understands the basics of all those techniques.
No, I think he's legitimately a tough guy too. I think that's, here's the thing about wrestling. I hear this a lot from people. Like I meet a lot of adults in my life. Some people say, I want to learn how to wrestle. And it's very hard. Wrestling, like amateur wrestling, is a very difficult sport for an adult to pick up because there's so many positions and like movements that are just so foreign to the human body that if you haven't been doing it for years and years and years, it's very hard to learn, especially when you're kind of old. And it's very like wrestling is hard, specifically American folk style wrestling is a grind. Like it is a grind on the human body.
Yeah.
So like, again, I would always go to gyms and these old men like, I want to learn how to wrestle. Wrestle with me. I'm like, all right, I'll beat your ass. It'd be fun for 20 minutes. Like, and what, cause I'm a bad person, but yeah.
Like Eddie Graham's gym, here comes fucking JD. Like teaching the Mark how to work.
Like, and it's like, but it's like, like when you're wrestling with somebody, like real wrestling, you don't hurt them. Like, there's no, like, right. You could be a dick, but I mean, like, you don't, there's no like pain involved. Like, if you're wrestling somebody and you're hurting them, you're doing it wrong.
Right.
Right. Like, we don't have submission holds in amateur wrestling. We don't have any type of a hold. Like, there's stuff that might be uncomfortable, but we don't like, it's not like that unless you're being a dick, which, you know.
One time in wrestling practice, this guy, I'll never forget him. His name was Plucky Bloomfield.
What a name. Holy shit. I'm stealing
his first name is not legitimately Plucky, but that's what we called him, Plucky. Plucky Bloomfield, and we were on the mat. He had my back, and he gets me into like a half Nelson, and then just kind of like, he was so fucking strong. He was legitimately like maybe 5'6", but he was just solid muscle, right? And he just got me in a quarter Nelson, rubbed my head into the mat, and then just kind of flipped me over into a cradle from the half Nelson and pinned my ass quick. And like, I had this big mat burn on my forehead. My neck was all jammed. My shoulder was all hurt. And I was like, it was one of the worst days of my life. And of course it happened like right in front of everybody. So, because we're just doing drills. And so he was like, I'm going to teach this guy a lesson. Cause you guys might not think this about me, but when I was younger, I was a little full of myself and I could talk a lot of shit. And sometimes they came back to bite me.
Life has a way to humble you, especially in wrestling. Especially, it's the lesson I'm going through with my kid right now. Yeah. Is he's had to eat a slice. He had a really good year, but he didn't achieve his goals, and he's got to eat some humble pie, and he's not doing well with it. Not doing well with it at all. So like, wrestling is life's great equalizer, and it's a hard thing to do because getting your ass kicked is difficult.
Yeah,
and everybody gets their ass kicked at some point or another.
I think it's good for you, to be honest.
It's great for you.
Yeah, I think it's a good, life lesson. I mean, I tried to get into boxing when I was 30, right? Just I randomly decided we had a boxing gym, and I was doing it to get into shape, but the guy running the gym was a real carny, and he was like, and he was like signing up like pro boxers for these like, you know, fights around the Bay Area. And the only way he would actually like devote time to training me is if I told him that I would get into professional boxing one day. And so he would actually start devoting time to me, and I got my ass beat every single day. And then I just remember one day I was like, not today. Like these guys are not going to kick my ass. And I go into the sparring session with this 19-year-old kid, fast as a motherfucker, right? I'm probably like, I was like maybe 185. I walk around like 195 right now, but like in shape, I'm like 185. That's a good walking, like fighting weight for me. And this guy's probably 160 pounds, a couple inches shorter than me, but fast as shit. So we get in there, and it's probably, you know, it's in the middle of summer in Fairfield, California. So it's probably like 105 degrees, no air conditioning in the warehouse where we're at. And we started getting there and sparring, and this guy's just lighting me up, kicking my ass. But I had been punched 1,000 times at this point to where it's not really affecting me. So I'm letting him do it. And I did the old Muhammad Ali rope-a-dope on this kid. He ends up gassing out. I hit him with a straight left, the jab to the chin, and then put him down with a body punch. And he submitted. I've never seen a guy submit in boxing, but he's like, nope, I'm done, coach. I'm done. And then he goes, no, get your ass. The coach would not let him walk out of the ring. He's like, no. So I had to like keep punching him. this goes on, but just so you guys know, when I was 30, I had a KO on my record of a 19-year-old kid who was like 20 pounds, like smaller than me.
That's awesome. I have similar. I started doing judo at 29 because the gym we were doing wrestling at, we couldn't use our high school gym in the off season. So we met a guy who had like an MMA gym, right? And he was an old school judo guy. And we took a liking to each other very, very quickly. So like we got it, and like, and he was teaching me judo, and I picked it up fairly quick because I have a pretty strong wrestling background. So I got into it, and about a year into it, he goes, hey, let's want to try to compete. I said, yeah, I think I do. I'm about 30 at this point, same age. And I go up to this tournament, and it's this backwater this backwater thing up in Wisconsin. And it's not like international judo, not like a real competition. It was just some like local club thing, like a franchise club essentially. Right. Yeah. And they knew me. They know of me because they saw this is a wrestler guy. So this guy thinks he's really good. We're going to teach him a lesson. And so they put me against this black belt right away, and I have no idea what's going on. And we start, and I just fucking launch this guy. And and they looks at the referee goes, that doesn't count. That's not a recognized hold. And I went, okay. So we go up again, and the guy tries something on me, and I'm bigger than him. And I just launch him again with a headlock, drop him, and like half point. And at the point, I am beating the shit out of this poor guy who looks at his master. He's like, can we please be done? And I just throw him one point, and my head catches the mat, and my head splits open, and I got blood pouring down my face. And at this point, I realize they're kind of working me. They're trying to work me a little bit, and I'm just mad. And their guy's like, well, you're done. You clearly can't go on. And I said, but I'm winning. And he goes, fine, you can win this match, but you're out of the tournament.
Right.
And I look over to my guy and he's laughing because he kind of knew they were going to try that. Like, they were going to try to teach a lesson and it wasn't working because I kept like, because some dude who's just like, you know, done like Mick Judo his whole life. He has never actually like competed in anything, wrestling a guy who's, you know, a freaking complete meathead. So right. I'm in there. My buddy's mom is gluing my, I'm 30 and I'm, I had a buddy who's 19 and his mom is gluing my forehead back together.
That's,
and
I'm old, like, that's old school Sabu shit. Yeah,
I know. It's pretty freaking cool.
Glue your cuts together.
Oh, we're such dickheads.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to get to the show. I want to get to the chat. First of all, thank you, chat, for being here. If you guys got anything for us, let us know. Cause we only have really a couple of topics tonight. But I think, you know, our topics are pretty big, so that should take up the bulk of the show. And then we're going to cut out a little bit early because we're going to head over to Patreon and, we're going to do an overtime this week for Patreon. Everything Pro Wrestling in the house. What's up, my brother? Jameson Fletcher said LFGJD. Yeah, good luck in Vegas, man. Sue Williams feels like he watched last week's show 2 days ago. It feels like a lot has happened in the last week since we were on. Yeah. And then Antonio Baker said Debo Samuel being gone yesterday was a shock. It was kind of a shock, but we all saw it coming. It's one of those weird things. Like, you know, he's going to get traded or he's going to get cut. And then it finally happens, like, oh shit, he's really gone. But one of my favorite players ever. So later, we'll see you down the road there, Debo. And then we got IO Productions in the house. What's up, IO Productions? Terrence Sullivan. What's up, Terrence? All right. So if you guys got any topics for us, hit us up in the chat. I think our top story, and I don't know how we could start a pro wrestling podcast with any other story this week than what we saw last night on WWE Elimination Chamber. We finally got the CHT.
What happened?
The John Cena heel turn, sir. I know. Yeah. One of the great heel turns of all time. So if you're in the chat, drop us your favorite heel turn of all time. I do want to bring those up. So we're talking heel turns tonight. I'm actually working a list right now. I'll probably get it in writing, put it on Patreon, and then JD and I will do a podcast about it. So drop us your favorite heel turn of all time. It could be John Cena's heel turn last night or what you think about his heel turn. But I'll be damned. Everybody wants to know where you were at when you witnessed the John Cena heel turn. It was like that big of a moment in pro wrestling. I was at this new restaurant that we just found out about earlier in the week called Delish. It's in the west side of Oahu, not exactly a remote area, but a very difficult area to get to. And so the beach, there's like nobody on. It was Saturday night. We went down there. We took some family photos. We had our friend who's a photographer, our neighbor, and we go down there, and then Delish has a live band. They're playing some old folk music. They got some like all kinds of stuff. There may have been 30 people at this place. The food is amazing. All this stuff, beautiful outside. Of course, we're in Hawaii.
What kind of food? And
what's that?
What kind of food they serve?
Bar food. But you know, like if you were to go to a brewery, like what they would serve at a brewery, but the menu is small, and actually they switch up the menu throughout the week. So they don't have the same thing every night. So that's kind of what was unique. We just ended up getting Kahlua pork nachos. And my daughter got a hot dog. So that's kind of what we had. But, so anyway, I was down there on the beach supposed to be enjoying my family, and fucking John Cena turns heel. And I'm like trying to not be on my phone while I'm with the wife and the kids. And we're trying to take family pictures at the same time because it's sunset. Like right at sunset in Hawaii is insane. And this whole John Cena heel turn, I've been wanting this for so long because I was so bored by this fucking guy come the mid 2000s. I was so sick of the babyface character that he had. I was never a big John Cena guy to be honest with you, but I understood why he was their top guy for so long. I wanted him to turn heel, and he turned heel last night. And honestly, it was way better than I would have even probably written it myself, to be honest with you. I thought that it was fucking flawless. What did you think? I know you saw the clip on Twitter.
I was watching wrestling when it happened, but I was watching Collision actually.
Yeah.
So, I saw the clip. I think it was on Facebook. I saw the clip.
Yeah.
And it's pretty masterful, man. Yeah, it's easily one of the one. I can't say it's the best because I have to think about it. When we do our thing, we got to go over like the best heel turns. It's the second most ornate heel turn that I've ever seen. The only one more over the top was Hogan NWO.
Right.
Right. This one was good, especially because like last week on the show, we covered Punk being the quote unquote corporate champion. Right.
Yeah.
So I think they did a pretty good job leaking out some of that stuff. So people got off the trail of Cena. Like, I don't know. I think we had the two most disingenuous fuckers in a WrestleMania main event in a long time between Cena and Cody Rhodes.
Right. Yeah.
But I think it's great. I think Cena's a great heel. If you ever saw, not so much Peacemaker, because Peacemaker, he's kind of a baby face. He's like an anti-hero.
He's an anti-hero, right?
Yeah. But in the Suicide Squad, the movie The Suicide Squad, James Gunn, he's a heel and he's pretty goddamn great.
Right.
Like his first run as a Peacemaker, pretty goddamn great as a heel. And I remember saying it to my wife when we watched the movie. I said, look, I told you John Cena could be a great heel. And we're here.
Yeah. Yeah, we're here. We're finally here. They really did play it perfectly because the way the WWE does their storytelling right now, they typically foreshadow something and then they deliver on something that they foreshadowed, right?
Right. That's always, so, to be fair, that's always been their MO. They rarely have out of left field heel turns.
Right. They rarely do it. Right. And so they had been foreshadowing CM Punk turning heel for a little while. And then they really cranked it up a notch on SmackDown. Now, I didn't watch SmackDown because SmackDown's terrible, but I did watch the CM Punk Cody Rhodes interview. John Muse like made sure that I watched it, and me and him, you know, we're talking about it. And I was like, John, I think that they foreshadowed it too much and that we might not be getting the corporate Punk champion. But then we talked about it and we're like, by the end of the conversation, we're both in, no, it's still going to be CM Punk. Right. And then CM Punk ends up losing. And because, Seth Rollins like did the curb stomp, whatever, and John Cena taps him out. And I was like, wait, are we getting a CHT here? Are we getting the big CHT? Cody Rhodes comes out and they're both happy-go-lucky, like two just scrappy baby faces that just love pro wrestling and want to do the right thing by the fans, want to do the right thing by the company that they love so much and get and go to WrestleMania. They're both like a couple of douchebags pointing at the WrestleMania sign. I'm like, okay, this is cheesy. This is stupid. And I'm following along on Twitter, right? And I was like, this is cheesy. This is stupid. So unless we get a CHT, I don't really care. So then I kind of like get away from the show at that point. And then all of a sudden my fucking phone starts blowing up. Holy shit. You gotta be fucking kidding me. This is the greatest thing I've ever seen. Like one by one, I'm like, oh shit. It like what happened? So I go in and I see the clip. The Rock comes out. I'll be honest. I'm a 42 year old white guy who has not listened to hip hop actively in probably 20 years. I don't know much about Travis Scott. I got no fucking clue why that guy was there. I just know that he's really famous.
My kids all know.
And so, yeah, the Rock comes out with Travis Scott, and the Rock has got to be the coolest son of a bitch to ever be in pro wrestling. The guy just like oozes aura every time you see him. Coming out wearing bell bottoms and a shiny vest, and I'm like, that he's the only guy that could actually pull that off. And he walks slowly to the ring to the beat of his music, and he comes out and he tells Cody Rhodes that, he wants an answer. He wants him to give him a big hug. Embrace me as a brother, and I'll embrace you as my champion. I want your mind, body, and your soul. And he said, if you don't, then the dream is going to die again. And I was like, fuck, that's a crazy line. And then Cody Rhodes goes, go fuck yourself, Rock. And they don't bleep it out. And I'm like, oh, shit, they did the Edge and Christian thing from AEW. I was like, I thought they executed that pretty well, because I don't think they've ever allowed the F word like on purpose in the WWE. So that made it even much better, right? He says, go fuck yourself. Turns around, like John Cena celebrating at this point, turns around, hugs John Cena. Then John Cena gets the heel face. Rock gives him that. And
I think Rock overdid it, because Rock like he kind of came underneath.
Yeah,
he didn't do the Arnie Anderson
did
across the throat.
Yeah, it was pretty over the top. But yeah, when you're in a football stadium, or not football stadium, but they're in that huge stadium in Toronto, WWE wrestlers are trained to overemphasize everything so the people at the top of the building can see it, right?
That's true, because they could have easily missed it on the 37 gigantic screens showing the feed. You're right.
Very easy
to miss.
So he does the whole thing. The crowd goes apeshit, and then John Cena kicks him in the balls and then beats the hell out of him. Travis Scott slapped the shit out of Cody.
Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes backstage, I'm like, hey, brother, what the hell, man?
He's like, who taught you how to throw a working punch, bud? But,
Terry Funk.
I know, right? I was just thinking about the story that Mick Foley tells. He's like, I was such a big fan of Terry Funk. I was such an admirer of his. And I always wanted to know how he throws his punches without hurting anybody. And I asked him about it, and he wouldn't really tell me. He said, we'll just find out when we get in the ring. And then I get in the ring with him, and I find out all he does is just punch you. He's like, wait a minute.
You thought I was just that good.
Yeah. He's like, hold on. The secret all these years is that Terry Funk just legitimately punches you. That's the secret to his punches. It's
the greatest ever.
Yeah. That's a great story. But John Cena turned heel, and I honestly thought that they played it beautifully. They played it perfectly. They might have to knock down the walls of Allegiant Stadium to get more people in there. I think they just sold a ton of tickets.
I agree. I think that's what they needed to do to get WrestleMania really. Because again, WrestleMania build has been a little flat, right? It doesn't seem to be quite as interesting, but now you got this. Like you finally opened Pandora's box after 15 years of people demanding it, you know?
Yeah.
Good.
So about time. So the moment was great, and it's hard to rank this as the greatest ever because we don't know what the follow-up is like, right? Mm-hmm. I think Cena has to win the title now and do a heel run over the summer. I know this is his last year. Although people on Twitter are just saying that maybe Cena, part of his heel gimmick is that he's not retiring. I don't think that's true. I think he's legitimately retiring, but it's pro wrestling. Nobody ever truly retires.
I think you do the negative Daniel Bryan story or Bryan Danielson AEW story, right?
Yeah.
I think he's got to win too. Cody's hit that belt for a year. It's time to do something different. Right. Yeah. I think the evil John Cena is great. I think he got to go all in with this. I think he's got to ditch the jorts, new song, right? No, nothing like what he was. Do something completely different. It's time. Let's be real, Mike. Let's be completely real. John Cena got to shave his fucking head, man. He ain't fooling.
He needs to take a trip to Turkey, I think. And he needs to take me with him because me and him have similar issues with our hair.
You are not in denial. Like John Cena is a multi millionaire who has a night for the first time in his career has a decent set of hair in the front,
right?
But there's no party going on in the back. In fact, it's quite sad.
Yeah. I sent you the picture earlier.
Somebody
had posted it was NW and then the O was just John Cena's bald spot. I thought that was fucking great. It's
fucking epic. Fucking
yeah, funny. But he's. I know why his hair is a lot longer now, so he can kind of comb over it so it doesn't look so bad whenever he's doing the movies.
Yeah, in the movies, they can cover that stuff. And in pro wrestling, not quite as great. Maybe that's part of the heat, though, is he walks around with this big-ass bald spot and he's in denial about it. Actually, now that I think about it, that's actually not a bad idea.
Didn't Hulk Hogan did that when he was doing the NWO. Remember, didn't he wrestle with hair plugs for a little bit?
I forget if it was hair plugs. It was totally like, I think it was for the Three Ninjas movie. He just went with it for a little bit. Like he had it was almost like a spike hair plug and he was in denial. I think Giant or Luger rips it off at one point. I forget.
Yeah.
Early in the NWO run, he does have like hair plugs. Well, great.
It was great stuff. And then they were spray painting Randy Savage's bald spot. Like Hogan was making fun of Savage for being bald. And I was like,
remarkably bald.
Yeah, which is hilarious. All right. So I'm going to get to the chat because a lot of people have a lot of good suggestions here. And some of the suggestions I'm seeing are already on my list coming up. I'm going to put it on our Patreon in a couple of days. Once I finalize the list, because there's a couple that I wanted to pull up. So, all right.
Mike, Everything Pro Wrestling says this episode of the Mike and JD show sponsored by Hims. Don't we wish that was true?
Yeah, I would. Hims, if you want to sponsor us, I'll take dick pills. I'll take hair pills. I'll take anything. Yeah, let's do it.
I'm 45. I have all my hair. I'm good. I guess I'll take the dick pills if we have to.
All right. Lion 2012 says his favorite is Paul Orndorff turning on Hulk Hogan.
That's a good one, man. That's a good one.
You know what? So WWE Vault just released the big event. And I like earlier, I had the week off. So I was just like, at some point, my wife was upstairs putting the baby down. I had already worked out. So I had the TV to myself. So I pulled up YouTube and there was the big event. So I was like, I watched the big event. 7,000 people in Toronto. They released it obviously because Elimination Chamber was this week. So
glorified host show.
Yeah. Good tie-in. That show sucked.
Glorified house show. I just said, terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. It was terrible. And now Orndorff and Hogan was fun, but the rest of the show was, it was abysmal, but yeah, Orndorff turning on Hogan, that turned into a lot of big business. And then, Hogan at Bash of the Beach. Yeah. I think that's probably going to be everybody's number one.
The most legendary. One could argue it changed wrestling. Like wrestling, I don't think that's the single event, but wrestling was starting to get hot again. And that's when everybody go, ooh.
That was the impetus, right? For sure. Everything Pro Wrestling. He likes Shawn Michaels turning on Marty at the barbershop. Overrated. Yeah.
Overrated.
It meant a lot to me as a kid because the Rockers were my favorite tag team. So that meant a lot to me as a kid.
A Shawn Michaels fan. Either the Rockers never did anything for me.
I've always loved Shawn Michaels. I think he's fantastic. And I was a big Rockers fan. I like the Midnight Rockers too in AWA. I actually went back and watched some of that stuff too.
So you think he's cute? You know he's sexy?
Yeah. I think that Sherry Martel did a better job singing that song than Shawn.
100%. 100%. I agree. But they couldn't keep Sherry Martel's voice on there after she left the company because Vince got a mess.
Yeah. Io says Matt turning on Jeff at the Rumble 2009. That was a cool moment, but it didn't lead to a good match. Like it didn't lead to a cool match. This is a good one. I didn't think about this one when I was putting my list together. I might have to reconfigure my list a little bit. Larry Zbysko turning on Bruno Sammartino in the WWF back in the day.
I think it might
have been WWF or WWF.
I think it's two W's at that point. That's 81. Okay. That sold out Shea. So showdown at Shea. That was a big one. Hey, you know what the secondary main event was on that show? It's Hogan and Andre.
Hogan and Andre.
Yeah. The first time. That's a good one though. That's a great feud, actually. Zbysko and Bruno. People thought Zbysko was gonna be like a massive force after that. He's okay.
Barry Windham turning on Lex Luger and joining the Four Horsemen in 1980. Yeah, that's a good one. Let's see.
It's a good one too. Ole turning on Dusty. And this isn't like Ole turning on Dusty in Georgia in 78. That's a classic one right
there. Yeah. And that whole story is on YouTube. And I was able to watch it. That's in my top 10. Yeah. That's in my top 10. You have to look that up. It's in my top 10. So definitely check that out. Let me see. I'm trying to get some more. Road Warriors turning on Sting. You know what? That one actually tanked the company.
Yeah, it worked. It just tanked Dusty specifically.
Dusty got fired, and then the Road Warriors immediately turned back babyface
because nobody was going to boo the Road Warriors. Like, they're too cool. It's a great angle, right? The show, the angle on Saturday night is really, really good. Dusty bleeds like a stuck pig.
So for those that don't know, there was a no blood policy on TBS, and Dusty knew that, and was mad. Right. He was not getting along with management, not getting along with Ric Flair.
What's going on, guys? This is Rich from the Flagship Podcast here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. We'll get back to your show in just a minute. Do want to let you know about a brand new sponsor, though, we have on the network, NordVPN. NordVPN aims to make the internet a better place for everybody. You can free your internet from online threats, censorship, and surveillance, as well as access content that is not available in your region. And this was one of the great ways that I use NordVPN. With WWE moving all their content to another streaming service internationally, you can use NordVPN to switch your region and access everything that they have on that new service. Now, on the flip side, say you still want access to where WWE used to have their content, and maybe you live outside the United States. Well, hey, NordVPN again is there to help. It's not just wrestling, though. If there's a sporting event or a TV show that's unavailable where you live, do not worry. You can still watch it with NordVPN. Just switch your virtual location to a country that is showing it. Plus, NordVPN is a great way to protect your private data like bank details and passwords, especially when you're traveling and using public Wi-Fi. One of the things that I love about NordVPN is that you can save money on flights, hotels, and subscriptions by virtually changing your location to a country with lower prices. As someone who travels a lot, you guys know vacations and all the other stuff. This is a tool that I use all the time to score better deals. Shop smarter with NordVPN. Come on, what are you doing? And don't worry about slow streaming either. NordVPN is the fastest VPN out there, so no more buffering or lagging. It even has a threat protection feature that blocks viruses and phishing sites. Best of all, you can use one account on up to 10 devices, and it costs about the same as a cup of coffee each month. Now, to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to our link, nordvpn.com/voice, which will give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. Again, it's nordvpn.com/voice to get 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. Best of all, there's no risk. Nord has a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you're not happy, use that right there, 30-day money-back guarantee. Once again, that's nordvpn.com/voice to get 4 extra months on the 2-year NordVPN plan. One more time, nordvpn.com/voice to get 4 extra months on the 2-year NordVPN plan. And of course, we want to thank NordVPN for sponsoring the podcast network. Now, back to your show.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
And then he booked the Road Warriors to turn heel and Spike Sting and made him bleed, made Dusty bleed, right, on TV. Wasn't that thing that got him fired?
Yeah, he got stabbed in the eye. He stabbed him in the eye, Jim Ross. this is actually when after Crockett is bought by TBS. So this is Dusty being pissed at the Turner people.
Right.
And that was the end of Dusty as Booker, which predicated the end of Dusty as Dusty by about
right. Dusty was kind of like, he went to the WWF after that, had a fun little run, but
actually he went to Florida first. Florida. He was going to restart Florida, and then he shows up around spring after WrestleMania. He shows up in WWF.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Slaughter turning on the USA. poor timing on that one, I thought.
Not really a great heel turn.
Yeah, but it did lead to a WrestleMania main event. That
actually had forced them to change arenas because nobody bought tickets.
Yeah. Yeah. But to this day, I think Sergeant Slaughter will tell you that it was because he had so much heat that they couldn't do it in an outdoor arena because he was going to be a victim of terrorism.
Mm-hmm. 3 months after the war ended. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Suit Williams, my favorite execution of a heel turn was Flair turning on Sting at Halloween Havoc 1995. Tag in, hit the ropes, crazy. Punch in the face. Yeah. That was classic.
That's the best example of Sting as an idiot, right? And that's the entire point of the feud. Everyone's telling Sting, Flair's going to turn on you. Flair's going to turn on you. Flair's going to turn you. Flair gets that tag and punches him in the face. And everyone's like, of course that was going to happen. It is a great moment, though. Halloween Havoc 95 is an underrated pay-per-view.
It is. But isn't it? Yeah, isn't that the one where Hogan and the Giant and Hogan murders him?
Yeah, Hogan. Right. He doesn't kill the Giant. We just think he kills the Giant, but the Giant comes back to life and wins the title. God, what a disaster! The problem with WCW '95 is the main events are so bad. The undercard's getting good. This is like the beginning of Nitro. Benoit and Guerrero are coming into the company, trying to have really good matches. And the main events.
Eric Bischoff was in his bag as far as booking New Japan and Mexican talent. Mm-hmm. And the cruiserweight division was starting to become a thing on national television. So, yeah. Ryan Armstrong says HBK turning on Hogan for SummerSlam 2005. I did like that moment because Hogan. Yeah, Hogan. I was in tech school in San Antonio, Texas, when that happened, and had a crew of us watching in the day room, and everybody was pretty shocked. I thought that was a cool moment. And I liked the match, but in hindsight, it doesn't hold up very well because Shawn Michaels is so fucking snotty and over the top. He hates Hogan, and he was just selling like ridiculously selling for Hogan, just to prove a point that he could have a match with the broomstick.
He's so petulant. Even like saved Shawn Michaels is still such a baby. I was out. I was out of pro wrestling in 2005, so I missed all that.
Yeah, but those are all really good suggestions. I'm gonna have my top 10. Hey, speaking of which, everybody go to patreon.com/themikeandjdshow. I have something in my top 10 that JD is gonna be interested in because I'm putting it together now. But in 1982, in Mid-South Wrestling, Ted DiBiase turning on the Junkyard Dog and then immediately forming the Rat Pack, right? So that is in my top 10. But I thought, well, since let's segue over into talk about JD's new podcast. I
appreciate that.
Yeah, you did a Mid-South podcast over the weekend. Why don't you tell us about it?
So, like, we've been kicking this idea around forever. Like, we've been literally talking about this for over a year. I wanted to do it for the 40th anniversary last year, but in classic JD Oliva fashion, I just put it off until it was 41 years after the fact. So I started a new show on the Mike and JD Show Network, on the Patreon Network. It's called Mid-South Madness, right? We're going to review, week by week, we're going to review episodes of Mid-South TV. And I review the actual YouTube show, not the stuff that's on the WWE Network, because I firmly believe that to truly experience pro wrestling of the 80s, you have to feel it through the lens of the music of the era. And everybody was stealing music in that era. WWF gets the most attention for it because, quite frankly, they were the best at it. The second best was probably Joel Watts in Mid-South, right? Yeah. I feel like when you watch Mid-South wrestling, you have to hear Another One Bites the Dust when Junkyard Dog comes to the ring. Mm-hmm. You have to hear ELO play the Rock and Roll Express's theme. You have to hear Chase when the Midnight Express come down. Like, that's part of the vibe of Mid-South. And I just, this is going to be me going for probably the last 2 years, right? Or 3 years, actually, of Mid-South wrestling. And I don't know, maybe I'm thinking week to week, we'll see how it goes. Maybe we do a month at a time. I have no idea. We're just going to kind of let it breathe. And it's a fun show. This is something that I've wanted to do for a long time. I was very inspired by our boss, Rich Krejci's Territory Tales thing that they're doing on their Patreon. And I decided rather than doing random territories, I'm just going to focus on my favorite. We're doing Mid-South. I'm starting at 84 because I think the Dundee booked era is the best era of Mid-South, personal opinion. So we'll do that. And maybe I will go back and do 82 because that's a pretty big thing when DiBiase turns on the Dog. That's pretty good shit, actually. So.
Yeah, that was really good. I actually watched 82 Mid-South a few years ago. And then I ended up watching 82 World Class. So that was pretty good. But 84 is a good year because the wrestling war is heating up and everybody's competing with Vince. So they're really fucking ratcheting their stuff up and they're going for it. Every company's going for it.
Yeah. That's the year the wrestling war really kicks in. That's another reason I picked 84. 84 is such a massive year in pop culture. And that's another thing that I'm trying to do in the show is really talk about kind of what's happening in the world at the time, because all art is a reflection on what's occurring in the world. The train is coming through in Davis Junction, as you guys can hear. I'm not going to get off my diatribe. I'm just going to keep going. Like, I really feel like, you know, 84 is a massive year. You have that awesome album by Van Halen called 1984. You've got so much going on in film and television, so much going on with MTV and music. Like, 84 is your MTV really has its talents firmly planted on things. So 84 is also, it's a big year for me. Like, I remember, it's the year I can remember earliest. Right. I mean, I remember moving into the house I grew up in 1984. My sister was born in 1984. Like, it's just for me, it's a special year. Right. Yeah. Ironically enough, it was the year my wife moved into her town that she grew up in. So, like, for me, 1984 is a big thing. So, like, I'm really going to start with 84 and we're going to move on. January, we were the week of January 1st. And if you're a fan of just old school pro wrestling in general, watching Mid-South 84, there's a lot of guys. Hey, I remember him. Hey, I know that guy. A lot of familiar names. Like, there's a lot of familiar names that show up. So every week, Mid-South Madness on the Mike and JD Show Patreon feed.
Yeah. And if you want to get into the mind of Tony Khan and see why he books the way he books, he's a big fan of Mid-South pro wrestling. Now, he obviously a big fan of WWE, WCW, ECW. He's even got some TNA influence. But at his heart, I think as a booker, I think he likes to book Mid-South style. I think that's genuinely what he likes.
When people decry that, I invite them to watch the show and see the sheer amount of angles that are thrown at you at any given moment on Mid-South television. Like, not a single moment of TV is wasted in Mid-South. No. Everything is building to something. So,
yeah. So I did get a chance to watch the entire show of Elimination Chamber. After I got back from the beach and the wife and the kids went down, I finished the show. I thought it was a really good show. Dave Meltzer said it was one of the great WWE shows of all time. I don't know if I'd go that far. Well, because it ended with one of the great angles in WWE history, right? Because WWE, they've had some great angles, but they have not had their Hogan 96 moment, right? They just haven't had it. They had, you know, Mr. McMahon turning heel, but that was kind of a slower thing, and then end up happening on like over the course of several weeks of television. They tried it with their Steve Austin turn, and that failed miserably. Yeah, that just failed miserably. And you know, Triple H turned back and forth so many times. Shawn Michaels turned back and forth so many times. The Rock, every different time you see him, he's a babyface and a heel. So they never really had their Hogan 96 moment. And I think they finally got it. So I think that's probably why it's going to go down as one of the biggest shows of all time. But I thought the women's chamber match, I'm not going to go blow by blow and do a full recap because I think a lot of people have already done it. But I thought the women's chamber match was actually pretty good. And I don't think I've ever been a fan of the women's chamber matches because I just don't, it didn't really seem to set the skill set of the people involved ever. But I thought they had a hot start with Jade Cargill coming back from injury. And the big reveal that it was Naomi, it was the one that that attacked her in the parking lot. You got to be careful those WWE parking lots, man. They always are deadly. But Jade came in while Bianca was in one of the pods and immediately attacked Naomi, her tag team partner. And Naomi had to be carried out. And so that's how they start the match, with eliminating Naomi first. That was a cool way to start it. I thought most of the wrestlers were pretty good. But I'll be honest, Liv Morgan specifically was, I thought, incredible. And I have never been a fan of Liv Morgan. I didn't think that she could go. And I've seen two matches of her lately. And I was like, okay, Liv, I didn't recognize your game before. So I apologize. In fact, for years, I just pretended that she was Alexa Bliss and that Alexa Bliss was Liv Morgan. And she was just playing a dual character. that really only made me laugh. And now it's making JD laugh. But I thought Liv Morgan was the MVP of the match. But Bianca Belair got the victory there. So yeah, I thought that was pretty good. And then,
I love Triple H going back to one of his favorite booking tropes of got beat up in the parking lot. Yeah. Remember Primary NXT, that happened so often. So, yeah.
Well, and that was the, you know, somebody mentioned the Triple H turn on HBK back in 2002. That was a parking lot incident, right? Where the security camera footage shows Shawn Michaels like through the windshield of the car. And then like weeks later, they get the full footage and it's the big reveal is that it was Triple H that put him through the windshield. Right. So he's been doing that for over 20 years. That's just what he likes to do. In this instance, it actually ended up working because they had a whole whodunit. Everybody thought it was Liv. It ends up being Naomi. Anyway, I thought that match was pretty good. Bianca Belair is going to go into WrestleMania to face Rhea Ripley. Second match was not good at all. Tiffany Stratton and Trish Stratus. Versus Nia Jax and God, who was her partner? Johnny Gargano's wife, Candice LeRae. I can't remember her name. This match was terrible. This match stunk. Yes. Yeah. So don't watch it. It was a dud for me. And Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, you guys are gonna be surprised to hear this was great.
They
had a lights out match essentially, an unsanctioned lights out match. They actually dimmed the lights in the building and they did a garbage plunder match all over Toronto. And that is where the big reveal was. Randy Orton comes back. He's been gone for a little bit. I didn't even know he was out. And Randy Orton is going to take on Kevin Owens at WrestleMania. So I have to make an apology to Elon Musk and Grok, specifically the Grok AI. Last week, we did a whole bit about the top 10 stories in professional wrestling. And one of them was the updated card for WrestleMania. And it said that Kevin Owens was going to be facing Randy Orton. I said, that's not happening. Randy Orton's not even on TV right now. They're not feuding. Kevin's feuding with Sammy. I made fun of it. And it turns out Grok, I don't know if it was full of shit or it just knew, but I had not heard anything like this. I've been watching Raw every week. So, Randy Orton was the big reveal there. But that match I thought was really good. And then you get to the main event. Four matches for this big stadium. Main event, the men's chamber match I thought was fantastic, and of course the big angle that closed the show. But specifically, Damian Priest is dead as a babyface. We're gonna have to do something with that guy. He is the only guy in the match who, he's a former world champion, but he got zero pops. Nobody cared about him. He did pin Drew McIntyre early in the match, and which is pretty funny because Dr. Featherbottom, you know who I'm talking about? Dr. Featherbottom from Sports Keto. He's this guy, his real name's Featherstone, apparently. I call him Dr. Featherbottom, right? He got one scoop like last November and has been riding on that one scoop train, trying to come up with scoop after scoop after scoop, and they're completely wrong all the time. Well, he came out with a story over the weekend last week that his sources from WWE told him that Drew McIntyre was winning the Elimination Chamber. So then a lot of people bet their own money on Bet Online. They bet on Drew McIntyre, and Dave Meltzer said it on his show last night that Bet Online took it offline, took that bet away, because so many people were putting money on Drew McIntyre. They're worried that they were going to lose their money. And then Drew McIntyre got eliminated first. So there you go. But
Featherstone was the name of the wide receiver and necessary roughness that couldn't catch anything.
You're going back. God, it's Scott Bakula and Scott Sinbad. Bakula. Right. Mm-hmm. And Sinbad.
Kathy Ireland.
Yeah.
Hector Elizondo is the coach. It's a great movie, actually. I gotta watch that again.
Yeah, that's a classic. Yeah, that's a classic. But so Damian Priest eliminates him. Damian Priest then gets eliminated shortly after that. And CM Punk eliminates Seth Rollins. And then Seth Rollins, of course, cheats, does the curb stomp to CM Punk, and then CM Punk gets hit or gets put into, which leads to John Cena's heel turn, because he did not win this match technically cleanly. Because Seth Rollins, after he was eliminated, did the curb stomp to CM Punk, and then John Cena capitalized and put him in the STFU, and then CM Punk passed out. That's how John Cena got the victory. A cage comes up, and then, of course, the big angle happens where John Cena finally turns heel. So we already explained. So, but I give Elimination Chamber a thumbs up. I thought it was a really fun show. And I was not a big fan of Royal Rumble, but was a fan of Elimination Chamber, so I didn't waste my time. And plus, if you watch it on delay, you can skip a lot of the bullshit, so that makes it an easier watch. So that's good.
Four matches in a long 4-hour show, huh? That's just WWE. I mean, like, these two companies are so freaking different.
They are, but you know, I think it's good that they're different.
I agree.
The way that they're telling the stories is way differently. Yeah. I watched Dynamite this week. I thought Dynamite was pretty good. AEW is on a run of really good shows. What did you think of Dynamite this week?
Yeah, I'm watching Dynamite again. Like, it was hard. Yeah. I was gonna do a review show, and I couldn't get it watched in time. I'll start doing that this week. Actually, start doing AEW reviews.
I had to teach you how to watch Dynamite on Max, and somebody had to teach me how to do that. I got caught via the comment section from our show whenever Joe was on it weeks ago. So that's a fucking problem, by the way.
Mike, I got a bigger problem with that. It didn't work because I get my Max through Amazon Prime. So my interface is completely different.
Got you.
So it's a massive problem, not an AEW problem, the Warner Media problem, that it's so hard for these apps to like communicate, and like you can't watch it live. But I mean, like, I figured it out. I mean, I got it. So it's like, it was such a pain in the ass to watch Dynamite this week, but I'm not going to have wrestling on Wednesdays anymore. So it's fine. Not a problem. Okay. But yeah, I'll start doing some Dynamite reviews. I really like Dynamite. I think taking a break from watching it week to week was really good for me, because I got to come at this promotion again with fresh eyes. And I got to be honest with you, I liked it. I liked it a lot. I mean, like, this Death Riders thing is better than I thought it was. Copeland is actually doing some of the best work, like, that he's done in years. He's so invested and into it. He's like, he's the anti, I don't know, Malachi Black, I guess. He's actually like, you know, trying to help people, not just being selfish putz. Like, I'm in. I'm all in. And then I got so into it, I watched Collision last night. Like, so it was really good.
Yeah, I heard it was really good. I couldn't watch Collision because I watched Chamber, and I can't do both. Like, I can't do both. But I found out JD watched Collision. I was like, okay, thank God. So we just divide and conquer. I watched Elimination Chamber. You watched Collision. Everybody's already heard Dynamite reviews out the ass. I don't think that many people are actually reviewing Collision. So what were your thoughts on Collision? What happened on Collision that you thought was pretty good? What sucked?
I really
enjoyed. I have a question for you when it's over.
Yeah, I really like Daniel Garcia and Adam Cole, really good match, right? I think they should run that back really soon. Like, work rate. Like, I think Collision's becoming the work rate show, right? That's the vibe that I get watching it this week. FTR with Kyle O'Reilly and Roderick Strong, just a great match. You know, Dax did the baby face, won't take the cheap win thing. And like they just, you know, a million kickouts, which you wouldn't expect from AEW. Just really, really fun. Like what I want from AEW. I want a bazillion kickouts. I want people just working at a ridiculous pace. Right. Main event, Will Hobbs looking good. Like I don't know, man. It was really good. The one frustration I have is that when I play HBO Max, I was just Max. It skips. I don't know if it's just HBO or if it's my shitball rural Wi-Fi, but like it skips a lot. So it actually hurts my enjoyment of watching the show because I have to like press and play and press pause and fast forward and rewind just to get things moving. So it actually kind of takes me out of the show a little bit. But so I can't sit there and go, well, this was great. This paced well here because I wound up having to move around and skip around so damn much. But what I saw of Collision, I really like, which is mostly just focusing on wrestling. They put Harley on commentary for a little bit. Her finishing move is now called the finishing move.
Yeah.
Stroke of fucking genius.
Yeah.
Like,
well, I saw that clip on Twitter. What I like about it is like, you guys didn't know the name of my finishing move. And they're kind of like, you've never beaten anybody with it. How would we know? You're like, how would you even have a finishing move where you have a finishing anybody?
Absolutely great. Nigel goes, well, I wasn't there, so you can't blame me. I know someone in the chat says, hey, wait, watching Dynamite. All right, go watch AEW or watch WWE, bro. I haven't watched it, and I have been negative to the point where I got people like emailing me saying, hey, what's your deal lately?
Right.
But I mean, I think
why are you getting in AEW's face, bro?
Yeah.
I had comments like, Mike, you're being weird about AEW. And I'm like, I like AEW, but when it's bad, I say it. When it's good, I say it. Same with any company.
I think that we saw what it could be, right? Like from like 2021 to like early 2023, it was a really good company. Karina was really good. It was working. And then there was a couple giant albatrosses around the company. And we seem to have worked through that. Like this MJF Hangman feud is really good. This Revolution pay-per-view show is shaping up to be fantastic.
Insane. It's going to be like, I think they're going to try to break the record for star ratings. Legitimately, with the matches that they booked, like, because I think Tony Khan understands just how negative we've all been on his company, the hardcores, and that means something to him. And so he went ahead and booked Revolution, he's trying to impress the podcast, say whatever you want. I think he's trying to break the record for most star ratings on one show.
No, and that's okay. I think WWE can be the company that has, like you said, four match big pay-per-views with all Travis Scott and all this ridiculous shit, where AEW can be that nitty gritty promotion that does awesome pro wrestling.
Right.
And the angles are working out pretty good so far. Like, I'm sorry, Adam Copeland taking out the Death Riders is cool shit. Like he systematically destroyed all of them. So he leveled the playing field with him and Moxley. And now Copeland's going to wrestle Wheeler this week on Dynamite. And that's good booking. Like that's good, solid storytelling, man. Like, are you going to get a moment like what you saw with the Chamber this week? No, but WWE's, like we just said, WWE's never had a moment like that. They never had their Hogan 96.
Right. So our biggest complaint with AEW is when they're trying to be WWE, we want them to be unapologetically AEW. And that's the Revolution card that we got. And I'm excited to watch it next week. I'm excited to review it next week because that's what this show is going to be. It's going to be an AEW Revolution show, which I'm excited about. So, because I know... I think there's only been like one or two pay-per-views that I've watched from AEW that I was like, this wasn't good. Right.
I agree. And
so I think this is going to rule. It's going to be one of the great pay-per-views of all time.
Agreed. Like I'm super stoked to watch this. I think about what Kyle Fletcher and Will Ospreay are going to do in that cage. And you're going to have Kenny Omega and Takeshita. Like, how is that going to be bad? Right. Like, I don't know much about Momo Watanabe and Mercedes, but Mercedes has been pretty good in the ring lately.
I'll be honest, I don't really care about that match.
I don't either, but I know people listen to the show do, so I was just waiting on it. We're not doing these wrestling guys. We don't pretend to be.
Yeah.
I don't care about Mariah Tony Storm. I think it's been going around for way too long, but it'll probably be violent, so I'm okay with violence.
So I was going to ask you this question, and Suit Williams, I see you in the chat. Hop in the chat. I want you to answer this question for me because I've been seeing this online and I don't disagree with the point, but I don't think it's where I would go. Do you think that Mariah May and Tony Storm should close the show?
I beg your pardon.
Do you think Mariah and Tony should close the show? I've just been seeing some people, maybe none of them good, but I've been seeing some people say that should happen. It's not what Mike would do. But do you think that the
fuck no, like what? Huh?
It's what? About that's about where I thought that would go. But that is the longest like feud that they've had for a while.
Sure.
It is popular. It is over with the crowd. Like
I didn't say it wasn't over.
Audience loves it, right? And up until like I would say the last week or so, the Copeland Mox feud has been a bit cold. I didn't think they were doing a great job with it at all, but they've stepped up their game a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I think Cope is doing some really good character work. And I think Mox mutters a lot, and I don't really know what the hell he's talking about, but he's getting a little bit better. He's finding his groove now. And I think this feud, the match is very likely to deliver, but I have been seeing some of that. And I wanted your opinion and Suit's opinion. So
they closed the Australia show because it made sense. Right, Suit says not a chance because
not a chance. Yeah, okay, just
like I want this feud to end. It's been going on forever. Like this whole thing has been going on forever. I just want Toni Storm to do something else. Mariah May is fine. Like it's I just want something else in the women's title picture. Yeah. I really stand by my thought a couple weeks ago that Harley should have beaten Banana Peel. Finished Mercedes, and then Mercedes can move on to feud with Tony.
That was my point. Like, I think Harley's going to be okay when her she was fine. You know what I mean?
She's over.
And I wouldn't see her as like a long-term champion there because the character that she plays, but I thought that it would have freed up Monet for Toni Storm for the big stadium show. Cause I think that's where they need to go. But they might do all the belts at once for that match. Maybe they do that in Texas, but that Texas show is not where they thought it was going to be, and they could use a big match. So maybe they get that anyway. But
the good, well, here's the thing: is AEW is not, that show's not till the summer. It's currently March, so why would you buy anything for that right now, not knowing what it is? Right. The second Wembley show wound up selling pretty good, but they had to put a card together. Right.
Yeah.
Pro wrestling. I'm of the mind. This is me personally, JD Lee was speaking. I'm of the mind that a pro wrestling show should be sold on its merits, not on its novelty. Yeah. Like I think a company should have to work to sell out a show. I think it's better for WrestleMania that they had to put a little bit of extra work in with the main event to move some more tickets. Right. I think this, here's the deal. You want to put a bunch of asses in a stadium in Texas, give them a fucking reason. Give them a fucking reason to go. Like, don't just expect, don't just be so entitled as to expect that you're going to do this big thing when you're, I don't want to call them a super cold company right now because things are turning up. Like they're not WWE.
I would say lukewarm, you know, like they're not cold. They're not hot. You know, they're like room temperature.
You know, I think that's fair. I think that's fair. But I mean, like, I think they're on the ascension. Like, I think that the crowd, if you notice, moving to the smaller venues has been a great move. The crowds are no longer super cold. You've got fans that want to be there again. Like, and this is how it starts. Like, this was WCW in 95, in 94, 95. Start small and build. Like, you want to.
Which boggled my mind that they booked the Oracle in Oakland because I saw Pearl Jam there. And like, it says 17,000 people for wrestling. I saw Pearl Jam there. There had to be like 23,000. I'm no kidding. I was at the top of that thing. I couldn't see Eddie Vedder's face for shit in that arena, but I loved it. I had a blast. I mean, it was still Pearl Jam. So that was a huge arena. They got less than 3,000 in it. So I was like, man, they could have booked something smaller, but I think that venue specifically is like cheap now because the Warriors don't play there anymore. But
Oakland's a shitty wrestling town to begin with, though.
Oh, always has been.
Always has been. Like 3,000. Yeah. You said 3,000 in Oakland. I'm like, oh, well, that's all right. It actually looked pretty good on TV too. Like I had no idea it was that massive. To be honest, they did they did a pretty decent job with it.
I want to get to Lady B. FGM. She's of the Fight Game Media family. So,
She got a lot of. I think
people who say that just want a woman's match to end a pay per view. An AEW pay-per-view for historical purposes because it hasn't happened yet in the company. There is something to that.
I can see that, but I don't think this is it. I don't think this is it.
I think this is probably, as far as like a feud goes for AEW, it's probably been one of the ones that the fans are into the most.
I agree.
I don't think that they could have even had that conversation about Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa, which I think was the other one that people thought about. I don't think that one would have been, even though they had good matches, I don't think that would have been able to close as far as marquee goes. This one, I think people are saying, you know, it, this is the chance because both women on the marquee, they're both like this feud is a marquee feud. They've already headlined before. That was an episode of Collision, though. That's not a pay-per-view. So you want to do it based on its merits. You don't want to just do it just to do it, just to check a box. You want to make sure that it's the right match to do it. And I personally don't think this is the right match to do it. Although I did really, really like the last two matches that they've had. I thought that the matches were both pretty good.
They have really good chemistry together. Yeah. They're really good together. I can see the argument. I can hear the argument. I just don't agree with it at this point.
Right. Yeah.
I just don't. It's not. Show me it'll move some numbers, and then I'll buy it. You know.
Yeah. And I don't think that selling it like, hey look, now we respect women. And that's why you should come buy the tickets. You know, when UFC brought in Ronda Rousey, they put her in the main event, not because they were trying to be diverse. We know what UFC is all about. We know where Dana White sits on things. He put her in the main event because that was the biggest draw. Ronda Rousey was the person that everybody came to see. That's why she was the main event. So that's why you put someone on it last.
I get that Tony is over with the faithful, and I'm not arguing that. The thing works with the faithful, but I don't think that's why people are going to be in the arena for the pay-per-view.
No,
I don't. No. So, no. Yeah, that's my personal.
No, me either. But hey guys, we're up against the time. JD and I are going to, we're going to be back on Patreon. We're going to be doing an overtime. So Patreon subscribers, be on the lookout for that. It'll be dropping in your inbox likely tomorrow. So thanks everybody for being here. Thanks to everybody in the chat. And please like, comment, and subscribe, and head to patreon.com/TheMikeAndJD Show. Like I said, JD's new Mid-South show is there. I did like 90 minutes on TNA yesterday, and I didn't have a lot of topics to talk about. But
I don't know how you do chat, 90 minutes.
The chat was just lively enough that we were able to get going. So, excuse me. So we had a lot of TNA talk. That show is up. And, of course, my top 10 heel turns of all time is coming up. And then I solicited a Q&A for the Patreon. So I'm going to be doing some type of Q&A midweek this week. So we'll be on the lookout for that. So lots of Patreon content coming your way. All right, guys, that's going to do it for us this time on the Mike and JD Show. And until next time, mahalo. Oh, hold on. Oh, sorry. I screwed up and pushed the wrong button. And now, until next time, mahalo.
Competition starting to get thick, it's the click, so I hope you watch your A game. A made no way from the track when we unite and spit. This isn't A game, better bring your A game. Competition starting to get thick, it's the click, so I hope you watch your A game. A made no way.
Hello, Voices of Wrestling listener, Dave Ryan here. Have you ever wondered to yourself, how many hidden gems are hidden away inside the last years of World Championship Wrestling? Have you ever asked yourself how many tenuous gags can be made about the name Mike Enos? And have you ever thought about what it sounds like for two Irishmen to interpret a very chaotic company through its B-show? The answers to all this and more are just a click away. Check out Days of Thunder every second Thursday on the Voices of Wrestling podcast network.
Yeah, sure thing. Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
GEICO makes it easy to get affordable renter's insurance in as little as 90 seconds. That way, you have more energy for harder things, like the laundry. Why is it so difficult to fold clothes? They just end up wrinkly anyway, or on the floor in a pile that just sits there, taunting you. But with renter's insurance through GEICO, at least you know that those clothes and the other things you love are covered. Get more with GEICO.